Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Habs Nightly. I hope the audio doesn't sound bad. I am fucking lounging in my computer chair right now like an absolute slob, but my back doesn't hurt, so it's my life, do what I want. But if you guys tuned in to the live stream yesterday, you got to see me shaved head and all hang out. But some awesome news, you know, obviously we all know the boys have got the first overall pick.
He's fucking coming.
Shane Wright could be on the way, or it could be, what's his name? Luke Hughes. No, he was just drafted. The other Hughes. LOL. Calm down. But before we get into a deep dive on that today.
Oh my God. You're blue-balling me here, Corey.
Mason Dixon.
Oh, I don't even care about what's going on in my life. Stop teasing me. Let's get right to it. Shane Wright is going to be a fucking Montreal Canadian. I don't care what anyone says. If the Habs don't draft this guy first overall, Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton were the wrong guys for the job, okay? He has been going first overall since he was 15 years old. I understand people... You know, people I find in the Habs fan base like to be negative. They like to be critical. They say, oh, he's not a generational player. He was considered a generational player. That's why he got OHL exceptional player status. And I've also seen people say, oh, he's not going to be Patrice Bergeron, blah, blah, blah. Patrice Bergeron was drafted in the second round, okay? You don't know how a player is going to develop or what they will fully become until they make the NHL, until their career plays out. That's part of it. But I can tell you one thing. It's what scouts have been telling us for 3 fucking years. Shane Wright will go first overall in this draft, and he's going to be a Hab.
So I was a bit critical. I was a bit paper baggish, metal tin wearing. Yesterday, I didn't believe in it. I didn't think it was fucking possible. I thought there was too many things lining up for this to happen. I believe they said on the broadcast yesterday, it has been 46 years, since the last first overall pick for the Montreal Canadiens. And
you thought there was a 5'8" NHL commissioner standing in the way.
Well, we'll get into his reaction on it. Where it was, sorry if I got too close to the mic. Where it was basically like a set, like the set of The Office. Like it felt there was like a real Michael Scott moment when he was like, "Is it? It's Montreal." You know, like he's standing there with his papers. He keeps fidgeting his papers and shit. But fuck. What were we talking about before you brought up Gary Bettman? Jesus Christ.
Talk about Shane Wright and his potential. And you were saying you didn't believe the Habs were going to win.
Oh, yeah. I really didn't think it was coming. I really didn't at all. I thought there was too much that was like making it seem like it was going to be destiny. And I was like, nah, there's no fucking way. There's no way. I've been talking up Arizona getting this for too long. I got to ride it. I got to ride the Lightning. And here we are. It's fantastic to be a Habs fan right now, thinking that Shane Wright is most likely going to be the pick. I don't think there's...
You will absolutely be the pick. They're not going to go out and say they're drafting Shane Wright. That's just not what they do. He's not Connor McDavid, so they're not going to... And who is, right? But in most drafts, other than like 2017, we've known who was going first.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no different. This is an exceptional player who got exceptional player status in the CHL, one of seven people to do it. And all but one of them have gone first overall. And if you're wondering who the one is, it's Sean Day, who went in the third round. Unfortunate. And if you look at the eighth player to ever be named exceptional player as an exceptional player, Connor Bedard, I think he's probably going first. Like, I just don't see any scenario in which Shane Wright is not drafted first overall by the Montreal Canadiens. Unless, you know, the Habs trade the first overall pick and then he's selected first overall by whoever they trade. Like, he will go first overall.
Right. So I remember where I was going. So it's been 42 years since the Canadians have drafted the first overall player. Do you know who that is? We brought up said guy maybe four episodes back.
Daughter. Rukenheiser, first overall in 1980.
Daughter's like the greatest national treasure for Canada.
Absolutely. One of the greatest Canadian athletes of all time.
Yeah, brought that up on the pot. I brought that up on the broadcast the other day. I was like, oh, I just learned about I just really learned about that person. I'm sorry, fans. I didn't really get a lot of I don't want to say 80s Montreal shit, but I was only really showed like, you know, very important games and highlights from back then. So that name is not very household.
I mean, Doug Wickenheiser went on to have a lengthy hockey career, but mm-hmm. he did not live up to the first draft, like first overall selection.
Right.
So it's not, I wouldn't say it's, you know, horrible for you to, you know, not know who he is. You know, that draft famously, actually, Montreal skipped on a French Canadian who went third overall to Chicago. Do you know who that is? Had fans up in arms for years.
In the 80s? Oh, yeah. In 1980?
And he played in what you really, he played for the Montreal Juniors in the QMJHL.
No, I'm blanking. I'm sorry.
Dennis Savard.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Oh, fuck. I feel stupid. When you said Chicago, I was like, my mind just went blank. Like, couldn't think of anybody.
Yeah. So. Which I think has spawned a lot of, you know, draft the Quebec player, this and that. And that was one case in which they probably should have. But moving back to Shane Wright, look, this is huge for the franchise. And let's not forget, if it weren't for Marc Bergevin, we'd have three first-round selections this year, but we have two. And Calgary looks like they could choke. So as much as I, you know, the other day we're talking about, I'm actually going to backtrack. I can't root for Calgary because even though I fucking hate Dallas Stars hockey, the worse they do, the better we draft. Mm-hmm. And Montreal is gonna, you know, they're gonna have a decent selection later on, like 25th. And something I hadn't thought of previously was that a point kind of I saw on Twitter, Montreal has the benefit of having the longest time to look over players too. Not only with the first overall selection, even though, like I said, that's kind of a no-brainer, mm-hmm. but the second round, the Montreal Canadiens draft 33rd overall, and they have a whole day. First round ends, that's one day, that's draft day gone. They have the whole evening to think and look over who they're going to draft. And if you don't think that's an advantage, you're just simply wrong. Like, that's a huge advantage I hadn't considered. So I think, Corey, you may disagree with me. I think this might be one of the biggest years in, like, most impactful seasons in Habs hockey I've watched. And it's crazy to say that after we just made the Stanley Cup final. But
no, as far as, like, what is shaping the future, I get where you're going.
No, absolutely. Like, look at where this franchise is headed now. And look at the guys that Shane Wright could possibly play with next season. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't know. I've never had this much hope in the future of the Montreal Canadiens. It seems like I say that quite often, but that's just because the future keeps getting brighter.
No, I completely agree. Right now, I'm on Tankathon. Now, obviously, it's going to depend on where Calgary falls, but at this moment, the Canadians are looking at like the 29th pick. So you'd have the 29th and then three picks later, the following day. Yeah, so
because the draft lottery changed, I'm not entirely sure how it works. I know there's some weird rule. Calgary won their division, so that kind of places their pick. But if they do bad, they can make the pick better. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes.
No, that's absolutely true. Because if you look in front of them, I'm sorry, the two teams in front of them are Toronto and the Wild. Now, let's say both teams move on to the second round and Calgary gets stunned, then they're definitely going to be 28th or 27th. Like, I don't see it moving tremendously, but I think there could be a bit of movement for that said pick.
Like, as in, like...
Like, it would be...
up at, okay,
moving,
yeah.
Moving up, like, to where we, you know, like, instead of it being so low, I mean, it's not going to move up tremendously, but it could move up to, at least two picks before where we were slotted at right now, if they were to exit.
No, for sure. I even think that Montreal, like, when you said movement, the reason I paused, they could package it to move up or down the draft.
Oh no, absolutely.
There's a lot Kent Hughes could do here. I just, like, Montreal having draft capital not only this season but next season as well, I think is a huge benefit for the team. And, like, I think what fans need to understand after this, and I want to get your take on this. I think fans are really, well, you know, we got the first overall selection. There's reason to be excited. I think fans are hopeful, though, because they saw the way Marty played, got the team to play, and, you know, they saw the way Caulfield picked it up, that they're hopeful that this team is, you know, things are going to start getting better next year. I'm kind of the opinion that things are going to be – no, I don't think things are going to be worse next year. I don't think it's possible. I think it's going to be a lot of the same. And I think, honestly, that's what's best for the team.
That's
right. I wonder what you think. Do you think the team's going to be, like, will they be better? I think so. I don't think they'll finish dead last next season. But I think they'll be a bottom five, bottom bottom 18.
I said it on the stream yesterday, in reference to this, Richie asked a similar question. And I think this team, now granted, you know, we did go to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. It was a tremendous year, but
I don't think that was this team, right?
No. That's what I was going to say. That was an end of an era. That was the final push with the group. And now we're nowhere near the finals right now, but I think that this team or what is being put in place right now is going to give us a better overall hockey, especially enjoyment factor for fans. I don't see this. I see this team being a team that's going to try to chase in the best scenario, a 500 season, just, you know, a very fucking average middle of the pack season. But I think that's their ceiling. I don't see them, you know, getting in like past, like, I don't know what, 16. Like I think 16th in the league would be the cap as high as we can go, and we would have to have a tremendous season next year. I think there's still a lot of things that need to be worked on. I still think it's still a bit of a shell of the team, of the idea and the outline that Hughes and Gorton have for this new group. But I don't see us being like fantastic. I see us making strides in the right direction. I see us having a more fun game to watch. But I don't see us being super successful. We'll see a lot of, okay, that was a loss. But just like towards the end of the season, okay, that was a loss, but that was some great hockey play. They really tried hard. There's new they're trying new systems or St. Louis is allowing the guys to play and react on their own, not just shelter them into this is how you got to play, kind of like Ducharme did. I think we'll see a lot of, okay, despite the loss, great effort, great chances, great looks. There's a lot of development, but I don't see us being anything past a 500, a break even overall season is what I'm putting as the cap for this team next year.
I don't even see this team doing that next year, to be honest with you. I see this team being very similar to what New Jersey did. I doubt we'll have their luck in the draft lottery because they're drafting second. It's just ridiculous. New Jersey's luck.
Always top five.
Esher, Hughes, like Luke Hughes, both the Hughes, sorry. Now the second, who's probably going to be Logan Cooley or a Simon Nemec. But when I say it will be similar to them, I mean, Jack Hughes is phenomenal. An amazing player. A first-line talent, a future superstar in the NHL. Team sucks. They also have guys like, fuck, who is that other young guy doing? Ugh. I'm drawing a blank there. You get my point. They have some young talent there. Damon Severson on the blue line playing really well. I see Montreal doing that. Nick Suzuki is going to have an even better year than this year. I really believe that. I think he'll have a better offensive production output. With Caulfield playing well, I think they'll both have really dominant breakout seasons. But I don't think this team is going to perform much better, to be honest with you. I think people expect.
Do you mean, I'm sorry, Jesper Bratt?
Yes, Jesper Bratt. Thank you.
Had him in fantasy. I had to drop him because he got hurt, but he was fantastic this year.
Oh, just phenomenal. I think he had, I think he led their team in points. Did he not?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was points and scoring. Like he was, there was like a solid two and a half months where he was getting a goal a night at least.
Well, and other guys too, like Mackenzie Blackwood was injured for most of the year, but played well. Nico Hischier quietly had 60 points in 70 games. They had that Russian guy, Yegor Sharangovich.
Yeah, Sharangovich.
Dawson Mercer had a phenomenal rookie season. You know, just a bunch of guys who played pretty well. That's kind of what I mean. And I think you're going to see this team. I'm just sorry. I still kind of have a cough. You're going to see this Habs team do something similar. You're going to see their young guys perform. You're going to see ice time for even, you know, emerging young stars. I think Jesse Ylönen is going to make this team. I think Joshua Waugh will have a chance at a training camp. I think Shane Wright is probably going to have a chance at a training camp, although we'll talk about that later. But I don't think that the rollover that a lot of fans expect is going to occur. I don't like people. I think they think Kent Hughes is just going to trade everyone, break it all down. That's not how rebuilds work anymore. And it's not really viable in the Habs situation. Look, do the Habs have a very promising future with a lot of young studs? Yes, they do. But, and I know this is going to pain a lot of you, you got to fill positions on the ice. And Yoel Armia has a hard contract to move. He's not that old. He's staying. I hate to say it. He's probably staying. Mike Hoffman, probably going to stay. Paul Byron, probably going to be on the team. Like, I don't think you're going to see that much changeover. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think,
which is honestly, I don't mean to cut you off. I don't think it's that bad if we don't have like the, if there's not someone like absolutely fucking killing it in for Laval. And it's just like, we're just wasting his time down there. The way I see it. Yeah, I don't want to see Paul Byron or any of the guys we grew to love go. But next season is really the year to start, you know, moving them, if anything, at least in my opinion.
I just mean to say, though, like Mike Hoffman, for example, is coming off the worst year of his career since he's entered the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. Mike Hoffman's all he does for you is score goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he scored less goals than he ever has in his career this season. He got less points than he ever has in his career this season. And he's on a new contract that has two more years left. Mike Hoffman's value is at his absolute lowest.
Right.
Yoel Armia, who just signed a contract, might I add, also at his lowest, worst season of his career. So, like, to then try and move those guys, I don't know. I just think it's just a bad idea. Like, you're not going to find, like, realistically,
you're going to lowball it. You know,
you're going to have to pay to move those contracts. You're going to have mm-hmm. to ship off draft picks or prospects to get rid of those guys to then maybe put players who probably aren't ready for the ice time in their position. Like, that's not how you rebuild. So I really, and I like really, really believe strongly that it's not going to happen. They're not going to move those guys. And fans are just gonna have to put up with it for another year. The Habs are gonna suck. Like, you're gonna see a very similar roster. You're gonna see some young guys get more ice time. But even on defense, like realistically, Corey, David Savard's probably coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Petrie, maybe not, but I think Edmondson will be there. And Romanov will be. So now you've got your top three filled. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of room. Jordan Harris is going to be there. You're going to have two spots. Do you really want to have move Savard and have four rookie defensemen playing? Like, no, you don't. So, yeah, I guess my point being just that I expect this to be – like, I'm excited for the future, and I'm really happy with the moves Kent Hughes and Gorton have made. I'm happy we get to select first overall. And I understand why there's a lot of optimism going into next season, but I think we need to be prepared to go through this again.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry to leave you on kind of a bad
transition. No, it's really not bad because it's not like we're sucking just to suck. It's next season like, will be a development season. Right? Yeah, like it'll be another really good development season. And look, man, at this point, it really can't be worse. than Dom Ducharme crippling this team with his system. I really can't imagine it getting like that again, to the point where you took everything from every player, the way they play, and you were like, this is the box. You're not allowed to move outside of it. Good luck.
Well, it doesn't feel like when Dom Ducharme, just to add on to your point, like when Dom Ducharme was with the team for about half the year, like Marty St. Louis had about as many games as Dom Ducharme did.
Mm-hmm.
We'd lose and it felt hopeless. Felt like we were just sinking further and further into a bottomless pit.
Mm-hmm.
At least with Marty, we've kind of felt like we bottomed out. You know what I mean? Yeah. We kind of started to dig our way out a little bit. We still sucked. Like, we lost almost as many games. But at the end of the season, honestly, I kind of forgot that we lost 60 games this year. Like, think about that. Like, that's a lot of games.
Yeah.
And I think, like, next season, we're going to lose 50 games, at least. I truthfully, like, I think we'll lose 50 games. But I think we'll lose them, but lose them in a way that, like, there's hope. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be, like, there's going to be blowout games. But I don't think every fucking game is going to be just a complete shit show where we're just like, why am I even fucking watching this? You know, I think there's going to be, I won't see the highest level of compete, you know, because it's not a complete team yet, but I think there's going to be more than a handful of nights that you're like, damn, this team is fucking really on. Like, they're really getting it together. They're finding ways to execute. They're finding ways to, you know, to like dig past like the score or dig past like a rut. Yeah, they'll still end in fucking losses, but I think it's going to be a lot more enjoyable to watch. Like, I think overall, I'm not upset that we're going to have another tough season. I'm excited that in watching next season, it's just going to be a full season of a better attitude team that's just going to be constantly improving. I might just be trying to be too optimistic about it, but yeah, I don't want to watch them lose every night, but I'm still going to try to watch this team. But I really don't think it's going to be like turnover after fucking turnover after turnover after shitty fucking power play after terrible penalty kill. I think there's going to be a bit of fight in this fucking team.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel now.
Yeah. And
right now that light is Shane Wright and his future and his growth. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And I expect Cole Caulfield to have another fantastic season coming off the high of the ass end of this one. Now, he didn't make he wasn't one of the three finalists in the Calder. And I'm not going to say that's going to fuel him, but
Corey, let's be honest. Like, bias here in the fact that this is a Habs podcast, and we tend to, you can try to hide your bias as much as you'd like. I don't think we're homers on this podcast. I think we try to take a very objective point mm-hmm. of view. But Cole Caulfield could score 40 goals next year.
No, absolutely. And that's what I was trying to get at. Like, if we look at this season, despite how fucking bad we were, Nick Suzuki had a 60-point season. Cole Caulfield fucking scored just about, you know, what'd he end to it? 23 goals. He basically scored at the second half of his season, a goal in half the games, at least. I don't see him taking the fucking breaks off. No. Getting Martin St. Louis, honestly, it has been an absolute fucking godsend. No one was looking for Martin St. Louis. We took a chance on him. It's going to be a great fucking chance. It's going to lead to one of the best, you know, like out of the box fucking goal coach hirings. This you know, in the modern NHL, you're going to sign him for fucking good money. It's going to be way underpaid probably because he, you know, you're going to probably bank it off of him just being still young and still learning, but this dude's not far out of the league. He's got one of the greatest fucking stories. I don't think there was a better coach out there. And it's so, I'm so blessed that we were able to fucking pull Martin St. Louis in, because what happens if we waited out and had Ducharme? We finished out the season. It looks like the Rangers, who I believe won tonight, but if the Rangers get fucking shut out, I'm sure their coach is gone. Who there could have been a chance Martin St. Louis gets a shot with the Rangers or something else. Like, I think it was an absolute fucking gold mine that we were able to lock in such like a, cause he's going to be like a John Cooper esque fucking coach in the future. Like, I don't see him ever being like, he's like fucking, you know, it was okay.
I don't know if I'd say he's a John Cooper s dynasty coach.
Well, okay. I'm not talking like dynasty factor. I mean, like, this dude's a true player's coach. He can mold the team. He can get a team rallied. He has an ability to like understand the player and the player to understand him because of how he fucking battled through the NHL. Like, how are you not going to run through a fucking wall for this fucking guy? He did it at every fucking level. Every chance was he had to earn. I don't see anyone really falling off on him.
I think that's fair. Definitely. I think Marty is pretty much guaranteed a lock to re-sign with the Habs. It seems that way with discussions we've seen from him.
Silly not to.
Kent Hughes. I think he's going to be, and we haven't even thought about, I don't think we thought or spoken about possibility of, you know, him with Shane Wright. And I kind of want to start shift the focus back to Wright here. There was an interview that got circulated right before the draft lottery of, it was like an interview with him and the work ethic that this kid has. And, you know, he's speaking about, they asked him straight up, like, do you think you should be the first overall pick? And his answer, he said yes, but in the way of like, I've done all, like, basically in a very humble, I don't know if it makes sense to say, yes, I'm the first overall pick, but in a humble way, but he did it. And I just think that he seems so mature beyond his years. He's the youngest captain in CHL history, captain of the Kingston Frontenacs. But I want to get onto a discussion regarding, like, I'm assuming, and I think it's fair too, that we are drafting Shane Wright. And I just want to get your take on this. You know, I think a lot of the hype on Shane Wright slowed down because, due to no fault of his own, he missed an entire year of hockey. His exceptional player status year's 15-year-old season, he had 39 goals in 58 games as a 15-year-old in the OHL. Like, he went off. He had 66 points in 58 games. And then this year, he had a slow start. So, basically, the question I'm getting to is, because we've seen it recently with guys like Owen Power, Montreal drafts Shane Wright. Do they send him down to the OHL for another year? What's your opinion on that?
Now, here's my thing. I don't know if the OHL is where he should belong, because – if you look at his 19-20 season, he only had 7 more fucking goals than he did this season. It seems like 2022 was like he just went off. He basically came very close to doubling everything. I think he would be better suited in the AHL.
He can't play in the AHL.
Oh, well then fuck me.
Due to it's a CHL. So is it Kate his Gooley, age? It's the collective bargaining agreement. Okay. Players like Justin Barron, who played in it when, so that year Shane Wright missed.
He's got to kind of make up.
Teams could sign their players the year they missed. The CHL didn't play, but the WHL did. Mm-hmm. But the AHL did. So teams were signing their prospects and letting them play in the AHL to get them time.
Okay.
So it was like a loophole, but it was only for guys who played. So Shane Wright would be ineligible for the AHL.
So his only options is to either play with his team where he's the captain or come to the NHL, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he could. I don't even think he could play NCAA because they consider the OHL professional for some reason.
Honestly, I would say bring him up, but my fear is Kotkaniemi and bringing him in too young, surrounded by far. I think this is a better overall team for him to be brought into, especially with the, you know, with having someone like Martin St. Louis and everything that's good going on with us right now. I don't know. I'm a bit nervous just because of KK. I don't want to repeat that again. Honestly, I wouldn't see a big fault for him to go to the OHL, but my problem with the OHL is if he's scoring 94 fucking points, you know, where he had a year off. And I mean, the way I see it is if he did 66 points in his 20 campaign, his 2021 campaign probably would have been this 94. And then his 2022 probably would have been like blowing the fucking roof off, like, you know, like well doubling his pre-COVID numbers.
Well, do you want me to shoot some stats at you?
Please do. Yeah.
So Shane Wright finished 8th in the OHL in scoring.
Okay.
Which is pretty fucking good, right?
Yeah, especially for someone who had a late start.
But just to, like, the reason the hype has kind of lowered on him, Marco Rossi, the year he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what year. What overall did he get drafted? Was it like 10th?
I'll look it up for you right now. But it was 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, because anyway, it was the year that I was doing stuff with New Jersey.
Marco Rossi finished 1st in the OHL in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
He had 120 points in 56 games played. Cole Perfetti, who I know got drafted 10th. I think Mark Ross got drafted 9th.
9th overall, Minnesota, 2020.
Yeah. Cole Perfetti got 111 points in 61 games, drafted in 2nd in the OHL. If you go back to even recent, like, Connor McDavid's year,
mm-hmm.
Connor McDavid finished 3rd in the OHL in scoring, right?
Right.
Behind Dylan Strome with 129 points in 68 games played, Mitch Marner in 2nd with 63 games played, 126 points. Yeah, McDavid played 47 games, had 120. So I bring that up because you've heard me before say Shane Wright is absolutely the number one overall pick, but he did not dominate the way we've seen other players dominate in the OHL, right?
Okay.
Even a guy like Jason Robertson, who you fucking love,
mm-hmm.
his last year, so he was 20, his 20-year-old season, he finished 1st in the OHL in scoring. They left him there. He was drafted in 2017. He was playing in the OHL in 2018-2019.
Mm-hmm.
So they marinated him there. And I think what really kind of drive the nail home is a player who Habs fans should, you know, be pretty aware of. Nick Suzuki went back to junior and absolutely dominated right after he was drafted. He was drafted in 2017. He also played 2018, 2019, famously with Guelph and the Owen Sound and have that phenomenal playoff run where he had 42 points in 24 games. Look how it served him. So I'll be honest, I think, like, without question, unless Shane Wright comes to camp, they should absolutely consider sending him back to the OHL.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Like I said, you either, you know, the team's not going to be amazing this year. You give him some reps. He gets a chance to really, you know, expedite his ceiling, you know, his level of play. Or he goes back to Kingston, who's still in the playoffs right now. He's got 2 goals for 12 assists. And he has another dynamite season. Look, dude, while you were talking, I looked up Marco Rossi's big year with that 120, and I looked up Cole Perfetti's with the 111. I don't really see a difference. And okay, yeah, there's the difference is the math, and I understand, I get it. But this was 2 years ago. This was before the world got fucked. I'm looking at a kid who, despite the adversity, losing an entire year of his fucking development, comes in and blows the fucking wheels off. I don't care if it's just 10, 20 points shy.
No, and what I'm saying is I totally – I am not comparing those players.
No, I understand.
Because Shane Wright is a better player than any – every, yeah, every but, he's going to be go a better off, player
I
than
think,
every
– I think for someone who can go off to this caliber after missing a very integral year for his development, for his future, and to still perform like this, and he's continuing to do it in the postseason. Fuck. I think he's the real fucking deal.
But, I guess another player I'd bring up to you, I just think there's this expectation in the NHL, right?
First overall
place. I'll even look at a guy like Lafreniere, who I don't blame. That's Gerard Gallant. But right now, I think Lafreniere would be scoring points if he wasn't playing on the third line and not playing power play. But if you're going to play him on the fourth, third line, better served. I truly believe he's better served playing junior. But a guy I'll bring up who is not high profile, but fans of this podcast should absolutely know, Joshua Waugh.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, like, drafted 5th overall, 2021. Obviously a weird season, but, you know, he was a 5th overall pick. We knew of him. We, you know, he played a few games in the queue, had some decent output, about a point a game. You know, nothing special though. He slid to the 5th round. Look what 1 year has done. Just for even our, like, as we're fans of him, but not only the general community, but our own outlook of him. I think he's one of the best prospects in our system, right? So I just think a year of marinating in the OHL could really help Shane Wright. I'm not saying it's absolutely what they should do, but I think it is something that we should really consider. And if it happens, I know it'll be, oh my God, he's going to be labeled as a bust by our own fan base and by others.
If he doesn't play.
The Leafs in the sense. Yeah, absolutely. But
look, man, don't float the mainstream. If anything, we need to learn from what we did to KK. If they truly believe that he would be better suited one more year in the OHL instead of coming up and then struggling, and then there's no opportunity for him to do anything else other than to go back to the O, let him develop. I feel like Joshua Waugh, right? Now, this could be a fucking hot take. This can be 10 fucking hat on my head, you know, but it almost feels like like the relief of getting drafted is gone. And now the worries of having to perform just to get drafted is gone. And now all he has to do is worry about the elevation of his game. And when he's ready, they'll notice. And if there's room, he'll come up. He'll make the next big move. It almost feels like a weight's been lifted off his shoulders, and now he can truly play and become a better player. Now, yeah. I don't know if anyone else ever feels that way. Maybe I'm just a fucking idiot, but I feel like that, you know, like these are children. These are fucking children. They're just years younger than you, Mason. There's a lot being thrown at them, and all they can do is just grit it and keep grinding every fucking day. There has to be a tremendous weight off your shoulders to get picked, to get drafted, to know that if you continue to play your cards right, you did everything that your coaches and your parents and everyone has ever told you, you've done it. You got it. Now all you have to do is just continue to elevate your game and play at that level. But the biggest thing was to get drafted. The biggest thing was to be good enough to get noticed. You've done it. Now you just got to worry about playing the game. And I just feel like his game has just shot up exponentially. Late pick, fantastic pick, it's looking like. Now, you know, we'll have to see how that turns out, but I'm hoping that that makes a little sense.
No, I think that makes sense. And I think it's interesting that you bring up KK because –
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's actually pretty, I'd say, popular opinion that the Habs rushed him. But I will be honest, I don't know if they did. And I say that because I think the KK situation was handled poorly. But I see it as more of a Lafreniere type situation where I think KK earned his spot. And his rookie season, he got 34 points. He played, I remember he was very sheltered that rookie year, 34 mm-hmm. points in basically a full season, played well. And, you know, that's like, that's a good, KK was never going to be a superstar. So it was a good rookie season. And then, you know, he continued to get those sheltered minutes and wasn't able to progress. And, you know, we know the fallout of that. And I think that's what scares me in this Shane Wright situation. Like, I'd much rather look, if he makes a team at a training camp, great. Team's got to be willing to give him the reps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think his development could possibly be better served in the OHL. But, you know, we've got a lot of time to discuss that. And I understand that you are a busy man. So do you want to start wrapping things up today?
Yes. I got one more thing on the KK thing. I think KK was ready. I think that the scheme that they tried to throw him into and the situations and the Galchenyuk shit of not knowing what fucking, you know, what position to put him in that still lingered. They did it with him. I think he was definitely ready to play. I think that they poorly brought him in. That's all. The level was there.
I absolutely agree.
It wasn't him. They didn't execute, you know, bringing him in. Like, they didn't give him the tools to fucking get the job done. He basically just fucking, you know, like a veteran, just kept playing and slowly got it together as the team fumble fucked everything around him. He's by no means a fucking saint. He did make mistakes, but I'm just saying he was definitely ready at 18 to come in.
Oh, he's also a traitor.
he was ready to come in. The team didn't handle him coming in the right way. They didn't give him the opportunities he really needed. They didn't have the team around him to do what they expected. I can't fault him for walking, but got to taste that shmoney. But yeah, no, we can definitely start wrapping things up. But before we start exiting, I'm sure we'll go off the rails one more time. Yeah, speaking of a little shmoney, we have a ad read by our friends over at DraftKings. Hockey fans, the pursuit of the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings same-day parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age, eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. So, yeah, Mason, where you want to head to now? I know we'll be closing out soon. Is there any bit of off-the-rails shit we want to talk about? Here's one. This is pretty cool. I saw it on Twitter earlier. The last day that the Canadians played in the Stanley Cup Finals last year is actually going to be the anniversary of the date is going to be the day that we draft Shane Wright.
That's fucking perfect.
Which is July 7th, Thursday.
Well, even in just speaking to that, like, I totally and firmly believe that the ghost of Guy Lafleur got us that pick. It was a week after his death on May 10th. It was like a weird way. The last time the draft was held in Montreal and we had the first overall pick, we drafted Guy Lafleur. Too many things lined up. People might call me crazy. I'm a little superstitious. I think Guy Lafleur made it happen. I think he gave us one last gift in departure, and that gift is Shane Wright.
Beautifully said. I also shouted out Guy Lafleur on the live stream yesterday. Live stream was really fun, folks. I know me and Mason have not partaken in any of the live stream this season, mainly just due to fucking work and school. But hopefully in the future we can jump in on one of them next season. But the live stream are fun, folks. It's mainly being done by Neil Villapiana of the New Jersey Devils podcast for THPN. But just about every night that there's a game, THPN is offering one live stream of whatever game the person that wants to do is doing. And they're normally a lot of fun. You can bullshit with said guest or said host. And it's especially when it's Neil. I haven't seen a lot of them, but I know Neil. I've worked with him. I know what a character is. I know how in-depth he gets, and they are a lot of fun.
They're very interactive, too. Occasionally, I jump in. And very even, much so. I did last time, too, when Corey was on with Richie. Just to fire some shots in, calling Corey a traitor because he was rooting for the fucking Arizona Coyotes, this madman.
I really thought it was like, look, you say that, and then you send me that video of Gary Bettman where it's like the office-esque thing. You got this little dude with the
glasses. He fucking tried to rig it. I'm convinced.
He drops the ball in. He's like, okay, we got 1-3-13. He looks at the guy sitting down. He's like, who is that? And he's like, that's the Montreal Canadiens. And Gary Bettman kind of like, dry mouthed it out. He's like, the Montreal Canadiens. Okay.
He literally said, oh my, wow.
Oh my, wow. Montreal. And then at the end, he's like, all right, let's try this again. Or something like that.
I thought Corey was wearing a tin hat for a long time, but I'm totally with him now. Gary fucking wanted, like, he tried to rig that for Arizona.
Gary,
motherfucker.
No, I'm telling you. And then, you know, just to keep the spirits live, you know, because Richie's like, I told you it wasn't going to happen. I said, no, dude, he's keeping the briefcase, and the briefcase is going to come out next year for Connor Bedard. And now I got Richie on board. So the Tin Hat Bandits continue living on. We got a whole nother year to talk about how Arizona is going to fucking remold this fucking this league. And I found out that they're going to do 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, 3 years at ASU. It's going to be fantastic.
What a fucking joke.
I'm excited. I'm so excited, dude. I'm so excited.
Absolute joke.
I'm so excited. I'm not going to lie to you.
Joke of a franchise. Let me tell you.
Now, Biz made a good point a while back that if they can't get the inking, can't get it all, the ducks in order within a year, like after this ASU season, if they can't get things going the right direction with the Tempe or Temp, whatever the fuck it's called in Arizona, if they can't get it right, then, you know, then the NHL will probably look to relocate the franchise.
I don't think
it's going to stay. I honestly think it's going to stay. And that's why Gary Bettman is going to make sure Connor Bedard comes out in that ugly motherfucking Kachina jersey.
If Connor Bedard has to play in the desert, I might quit being a hockey fan.
Come on, man. Come on.
No, but like, Corey, I don't think you fully grasp, because you struggle to watch hockey in general, right? But in Canada, the hockey mecca, let's be honest, it's the truth. All the superstars of this league get shipped to the worst fucking markets and you never see them. That is why we get our fucking throats stuffed with Austin Matthews. One, because he's a Leaf, but he's the only fucking guy that plays. Like, I barely even get to see Connor McDavid because he plays in Edmonton. And Sidney Crosby, I see him because occasionally when he plays in Pittsburgh, but you get guys like fucking, even when Rick Nash, I remember when I was a kid, I always wanted to watch Rick Nash. He was in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
If Connor Bedard is in Arizona, I will see him play twice a year when he plays Montreal. And I cannot stand for that. I cannot stand for all the exciting guys. Trevor Zegras in Anaheim. When do you fucking see Anaheim on TV? Like, no. He. I don't care if he's a Hab, but he has to be on the fucking East Coast. That's all I want. I don't care if he torments me. I just want to watch the guy play hockey.
Fair enough.
But without further ado, I'm getting sicker and sicker every minute we record this.
Yeah, you're good. We got to get you a lozenge. I forgot what you call them in Canada, but a sucrète, if I'm not mistaken.
A sucrète.
Oh. But yeah, if you don't have anything else to say, I'll take us out of here.
Absolutely not. Unless, sucrète wants to sponsor us one day. Someone from Secrets is looking out. I will absolutely take the position, but it's all yours, buddy.
All right. Well, it definitely won't be Kraft dinners. But thank you guys so much for listening. As I expected, it would be a 30-minute episode. But Shane Wright gets everyone talking. So without further ado, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Habs Nightly. You guys know where to find us. Follow us on Twitter at Habs Nightly and myself at Bayou Benders. We hope you guys have a great weekend and are excited to continue watching these playoffs. And we will talk to you guys again on Monday.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.